Hey, this is Master Roshi from Dragon Ball, and you're listening to the Tangles Podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Tanglecast, the official podcast for Beneath the Tangles and Anime Pop Heart. If my voice doesn't sound familiar, well, it shouldn't. I'm a special host today. My name is Tweak, and I'll get to why I'm hosting in a minute. But first, I want to ask you to help us specifically today by hitting pause and leaving us a review on whatever platform you're listening from. We would very much appreciate it. I also want to point you to our website, beneaththetangles.com. Every year, our writers contribute to a project we call the 12 Days of Christmas Anime, where we count down the days until Christmas by blogging about a Christmas episode of an anime series, or a manga chapter, or a light novel volume. Today is day 3. We previously covered Sword Art Online and After School Dice Club, and we really encourage you to check out what we've been doing and what we're going to be doing from here on forward. Actually, Peter, one of our podcasters, is also contributing this year, so we're excited about that. All right, on to the episode. I'm joined today by our usual crew. We've got David, Peter, and Holly. Say hello, guys.
Hello.
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 I'm also joined by another voice you probably don't normally hear, who is every bit a significant part of this team, though, our editor, Marcelo.
Hey, hey, hey.
I also need to mention that David finally graduated seminary. Congratulations, David. So we're actually going to chat with you a little bit more about that in the next episode, but I had to mention that after all these years. Good work. Today's episode, though, is our big Secret Santa reveal.
Woo-hoo! Yeah!
Secret Santa!
Secret Santa!
Secret Santa!
Well, I could tell you guys are really excited, but it's actually been a month or two in the making. A couple months ago, each member of our four-person crew selected three anime recommendations for someone else. The person receiving the recommendations doesn't know who their anime Secret Santa is, so today we'll reveal that as well as what anime each person decided to watch. And I'm here because I'm the only one who knows everything, and I'm super excited to see everyone's reactions. But first, let's jump into our cast question from last time. It's been a while because the team took a well-deserved Thanksgiving break. Thank you all for all that you're doing. Last time, the crew talked about the film In This Corner of the World, which lent itself to discussion about big events that changed the course of our lives. The CQ for that episode was this: what's one of the most meaningful moments of your life? And I'll ask David to start us off.
Well, from Facebook, we have Cooper, who used to do a lot of writing about anime over at Geeks Under Grace, saying, "When both my favorite author and his agent, on separate occasions and under different circumstances, gave me their blessing as a writer, that was highly encouraging." Man, I think that's super awesome. To be acknowledged by someone you admire, I think there's almost nothing that makes you feel as good as that. So, man, that is great. Congratulations, Cooper. Heath says, "Finding my current group of friends has been perhaps one of the best, most life-changing moments in my life so far. Never knew how much I was missing without them." Yeah, Heath, the friend group is, I think, one of the most important things that we have as we live our lives. So power to you. Awesome.
Yeah, I totally agree. And we have Tyler, one of the admins of our Discord channel. He wrote, "Getting to put my wedding ring on my wife." Man.
Aww.
I know you guys are looking forward to that, are you? I know I am.
I know I am.
I know you are.
Oh, you're not wrong, Peter. Jimmy says, "When I was given a new sister by my parents." Awesome. Congrats, Jimmy. And Kenneth, who is a missionary in Taiwan, says, "The day I was saved completely changed the trajectory of my life in a big way. The world hasn't been the same since."
My good friend Judy said, "I experienced merciless teasing in grades 4 through 6 from my classmates because of the fact that I have a physical challenge. This was when I attended public school. I was really, really miserable. When I started attending Cotting School, I went to school there in grades 7 through 12. It was a school for students who have physical challenges. The very first day I went there, everyone said hi to me. That meant so much to have all these people I didn't know make me feel so welcome and was just wonderful. And going there made me much, much happier. Thanks so much for sharing, Judy. You and I talked about this before and what a blessing it was for you to transfer to Kadeen. And I hope we can all be those kinds of people who, you know, just make people feel warm and welcome and not pick them out for what's different about them, but really look at what's in their heart and share our hearts with them.
And then from Instagram, I have Corey who wrote, "Last year, Dad bought me a Lego set for Christmas, which was a huge deal for me because after recently rediscovering my love of Lego, Dad was kind of disapproving of it, mostly because I'm an adult. Seeing him buy me a set for Christmas kind of showed me that was starting to change. I think it's the best when parents like start to have like those warming moments, because recently I had those too with Dad too. So yeah, but anyways, I have another one from Half Shade, another mutual on Insta, saying, "The day I first laid hands on Lord of the Rings, it's the best thing I've ever read and have lost count of the numbers of the time I've read it."
I have another response from Instagram from Marion saying, "I'm a fan of this K-band, Day 6, and last year they finally had a concert tour in my city. So standing there in the crowd and just listening to them live, I had that feeling of joy and contentment, that feeling of waiting for something for so long and finally getting it. They were worth the wait for me." Yeah, I remember just going to my first Switchfoot concert, and I love Switchfoot, and I had that same feeling of joy and excitement. So that's really cool. And finally, we have our Facebook admin and writer, Samaru, saying, "Giving my life to Christ at 17. And I think we can all attest to that and how great that is.
Mm-hmm. Thanks to everyone who commented. I loved reading these. Everyone got really personal here. So thanks for sharing. Sometimes it's really good to go with that, you know, kind of more meaningful question. It helps us get to know you all a little bit better. For this week's cast question, I'm going to kind of go hard hitting and maybe a little bit cruel. Here it is. When did you find out there was no Santa Claus?
I'll go first since I have the story. So it was when I was in fifth grade and I really wanted this sewing kit. And so one day I found it at the like foot of my bed when I woke up, and I was super excited for it. And then funny thing is, my parents were like, "Wow, Santa came by and dropped that off for you." And I was like, "Wow, really?" And then I went to go help out my parents at their work the next morning. And they work at like, they worked in like uptown New York, and it was like a mini Walmart almost. So like they sell all kinds of stuff there. I saw the sewing kit in part of their display, like their selling display. And I looked at it and I looked at my parents. And I was like, "Wait, what? Why is this here?" And then my parents were like, "Oh, well, Santa came by our store to pick it up." And then he dropped it off. Smooth. And I was like, "Sure." So that's when I knew, you know, like, it was my parents always.
Oh, man. Well, I never believed in Santa. I can't ever remember having believed in Santa. And my parents actually didn't tell me there was a Santa. It was just like, "Hey, we're giving you a present. What do you want? Like, we're going to celebrate this season of Christmas and we're going to get presents for each other." But yeah, I never just had Santa in my mind. And when I was able to kind of think for myself just a little bit, like reason logically, Santa just didn't make sense. Like, he can't be possible. Because even to like hit the houses in all of my neighborhood in one night, like that's a hard deal. But to go not just like all of Texas, but at least the US, if not other countries, like that's just impossible. So I just couldn't see how Santa worked as a concept. And I didn't understand why other kids would think that he's real.
David, first of all, it's magic. Okay. All right. And secondly,
yeah, some imagination too.
Yeah. David has no imagination, but you know, that's actually something that parents have to talk about. Like when our kids got old enough, Jenny and I had to talk about, do we tell them about Santa or not? And I was so pro Santa and she was so anti Santa. So that's one of those things that you aren't ready for when you get into a marriage, but yeah, there you go.
For me, I actually don't remember when I stopped believing in Santa. The last Christmas I remember actually believing in Santa was when I was in second grade, and that's when I got a Game Boy Color and Pokemon Yellow version. But I mean, now I know it's from my parents, but back then I thought it was from Santa, and that was the last one where I believed I think I believed in Santa. And after that, it's kind of a blur and all that happened because I think my parents just started ending up saying like, hey, what do you guys want? If you guys want something, just write it on a piece of paper and put it on the Christmas tree. And then at that moment, I think I was kind of like, oh, I guess my parents are like just going to buy something for me. So it's not really from Santa. So I think it's around then, maybe probably when I was around somewhere around 8 to 10 years old.
I think I was around that age too, not fifth grade.
Well, fifth grade is 10 years old. Fifth grade is 10 years old.
No, I'm pretty sure I was younger. But anyways.
It's okay to believe in Santa.
You make it sound like it's not okay.
It's okay to believe in Santa, you primitive being.
Yikes.
I'm kind of on the same boat as Peter in this one. I don't remember when I stopped believing in Santa. I think I can believe that I did because I do remember at some age, I'm going to say 3 or 4, guys. I do remember.
I like it.
All right. Let's be honest. It was more like 6 or 7. I do remember writing down a note of what I wanted and giving it to my mom because she was an adult and you need an adult to send letters to the North Pole. But my mom did not want her thunder stolen, so she always told me that she was the one who bought it.
That's nice.
But I only say that because I'm pretty sure I believed in Santa because I definitely believed in the tooth fairy. Well, I had Christian parents, so it was the tooth angel. Let me correct myself.
I gave my tooth to my mom and told me to give me a dollar.
Do you guys remember growing up and being in elementary school and your teacher would like read a story like out loud to the class? So for us, when I was in fourth grade, there was a chapter in the book that Mrs. Lopez was reading to us that was all about how there was no such thing as Santa Claus. And I went home and I was on the verge of tears and I asked my mom, is there a Santa Claus? And then she laughed at me and said no. And so that kind of confirmed it. And I cried so much that day. So yeah, that's my sad story. But yeah, anyway, with that note, we'll turn it back to you all. And hopefully you guys have stories more like David's than like mine. But if it's not, you know, whatever it is, share it with us. We want to know when you found out that the whole big fat man thing and the elves and all that was just a big scam and a lie. Let us know, either on the blog or Facebook or Twitter. Now on to today's game. I'm so excited about this. I've been looking forward to the game since I knew I'd be hosting. Because first of all, we're playing everyone's favorite game, anime or animate up.
Yeah, I know.
But this is a special Christmas edition of the game. So what I'm going to do is instead of describing an anime, I'm going to be describing a Christmas episode of an anime. And everyone here has to decide if it's really an anime or if I just made it up. Are you guys feeling confident about this one?
Not really.
Not at all.
I am always confident in my anime knowledge.
Very good. All right, so let's get started. The girls of Class 1A are excited about Christmas and can't help but gab about Santa Claus. Tomo explains that Santa is a government employee. Osaka spills the beans that Santa doesn't exist to her much younger classmate Chiyo. And Sakaki imagines that Chiyo's dad is Santa Claus, which is stranger than it sounds because Sakaki already believes Chiyo's dad to be a great baseball player, a magical being who is bulletproof and has the ability to fly, and is a talking cat. So is this an anime or anime made up?
If this is anime made up, like, you're a genius. This is
amazing. Anime.
That sounds like an anime to me.
I go with anime made up.
I'll go with anime.
No, guys, please.
David is the loser here. This is an anime.
It was too good of a summary.
It was too good.
So, of course, David would have never watched this because it's a classic slice of life series, Azumanga Daioh. So he would avoid it like the plague. But it's a very funny show, and we're actually going to talk about it in one of the 12 Days posts coming up. Very funny stuff. All right, moving on. So David has zero. The rest of you all have one.
Yes. All right.
Here we go. On Christmas Eve, Zero is finally ready to confess his love to his longtime crush, Ivy. He has it all planned out, right down to the beautiful glass figurine that he plans to give her as the two shop for a Christmas cake to eat during a celebration with the rest of the team. But this is Tokyo 5, and just as Zero is about to confess, another golem appears in the floating city, and he and Ivy have to abandon their date to battle it. They're successful in defeating the golem, but Zero has to make a decision whether to save the cake they've bought or the figure he was going to gift Ivy. He chooses the cake, knowing how important it is to Ivy to share it with the rest of the team this Christmas, which turns out to be a nice holiday after all, even if Zero wasn't able to confess. Anime or anime'd up?
Anime'd up.
You sound so confident.
I really have no idea at all.
This one's way harder than the first one for me.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like it'd be real, but then at the same time.
But that's the thing. It's a Christmas special. So even if it's like a shonen, it's going to be silly.
Yeah. And it can have stuff like that.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Oh, man.
I go for anime'd up again. Anime'd up.
I'll go with anime'd up too.
Marcelo? I'll go with anime.
It's another 3-1. This is anime up.
Oh, no.
Yes. Yes.
2 points.
Holly and Peter leading the way. All right, on to the third one. Sakura explains to Lee about her love of Christmas, and the rest of the class is excited too, particularly with the announcement of a Christmas Eve party. Everyone, that is, except Sakura's best friend Tomoyo, who hasn't been acting herself lately, becoming depressed and even stranger than she normally is. Now, Lee plans to ask the out-of-sorts Tomoyo to the party, but after accidentally destroying the class's Christmas tree with an errant softball pitch, and knowing that though unwilling to admit it, Sakura, the one I said who likes Christmas, actually likes Lee too, Tomoyo refuses Lee's invitation to go. Can Sakura bring Lee and Tomoyo together? Does Sakura really want to? And what's this about her singing a duet with her frenemy Mei Ling, and Lee dressing up as a giant teddy bear? Anime or anime'd up?
Gut feeling, this is an anime.
I'm going for anime as well.
Oh, man. I'm gonna go with anime'd up.
Same.
Wow, 2-2 on this one. Have you guys never watched Toradora?
Oh, no.
Wait, I watched Toradora.
Okay, so I just switched all the names, okay? So Taiga is the one who likes Christmas and also likes Ryuji. Ryuji likes Minori. And Minori feels like she destroyed everyone's Christmas by throwing that softball that crashes through the door and smashes their Christmas tree. And then Ryuji dresses up as a giant teddy bear to help Taiga feel better.
I remember this plot, but then I was like, the names don't sound familiar at all.
Yeah, this is what happens when I take control of this game. And only Peter has gotten everyone right so far. All right, we're on
it's
to
okay,
the...
okay, I'm second place.
You're tied for second. All right, we're on to the last one. Santa has always hated Christmas. Yes, Santa. That's the name of a young man who was born on December 24th and named after the Christmas icon. But this Christmas time becomes even more complicated when a woman claiming to be a Santa Claus, her name is Mai, makes it her mission to cheer Santa up, leading to a blending of Christmas fantasy, romance, and of course, inflating opai. Anime or anime'd up?
What's opai?
I don't want to say.
It's what Saitama has on his shirt.
Yeah, exactly. What do you guys think?
Anime.
All right.
I'm going to say anime'd up.
All right.
I'm also going to say anime'd up.
I'm going to say this is an anime. I think this is an anime.
So I've got to say that Marcelo is very, very bad at this game. This is an anime. The name of the anime is My Santa. Wow. And it's not very good, but it's from Ken Akamatsu, who did Love Hina and Negima, which are two shows with a lot of fan service, but are actually quite touching. And so is this this little special. So it's kind of bad and kind of good. Anyway, adding up all the points, we do have a winner. Peter, good job. You know your Christmas anime.
Of course, Peter.
Wow.
It's all my intuition and my instinct.
Wow.
Now on to our main segment. As I mentioned at the top of the podcast, today's episode is a reveal of our podcast team's Secret Santa gift exchange, though our gifts are anime series. I love this idea because it gives each of the cast members a chance to force someone else to watch a series they like, and they might like it back. But as in real life, there's always a chance the receiver might not like the gift. Here were the rules. I randomly gave each of our four members someone else's name, and they acted as Secret Santa for that person. They researched their receiver's anime list and suggested three anime series, movies, or OVAs for the person to watch. I emailed the suggestions out so that the chooser remains secret. So let's get started. And we will start with David. So David, the three suggestions you received were Gurren Lagann, Anohana, and Level E. And you watched
Anohana. And I knew who gave me these suggestions.
All right, we'll get to that in a second. But first, I want to know, how many times did you cry while watching Anohana?
I cried one time.
Did you
while
really?
Watching Anohana.
You
at
really
the very end.
So at the I very take it. End. I take it that you liked it.
It was okay. I watched 10 episodes of it, and I was really bored, and I thought I should just stop. But because, you know, it is the Secret Santa recommendation, I watched the 11th one and suddenly I broke down. Yeah, it was weird.
Well, you know, that Menma makes everyone cry. So I think she did her job there. It just took
that
many
it didn't
episodes.
Even make sense. Like the fact that how they did it, like the ending didn't make sense. Yet it still got me with the feels.
Well, who do you think was the one who gave you this series?
It has to be Marcelo. Nobody else is going to recommend Level E.
It was indeed Marcelo. I'm interested in knowing, Marcelo, did Anohana make you cry?
Well, I actually don't remember watching.
Wow.
Well, I don't remember the specifics, but I remember watching the series with my little brother when I was in high school and he was in middle school, and both of us cried that last episode.
You know, you guys are I would say you guys are pretty tough, because for me, like, it felt like all the episodes were so emotional. I never actually fully cried, but I felt like crying after almost every episode. But you didn't really like it till the very end, you said, David.
Yeah, no, it was a good plot, I think. It just wasn't my cup of tea. But yeah, at the very end, suddenly it all just hit me all at once, and then it made me super emotional.
You're kind of like Yukiatsu, right? Isn't he the one that kind of like breaks at what's her name? The Tsuruko, the girl with the glasses. She's like the hardest one out of all those characters to break.
Oh, yes. Yeah, she's the super level-headed one, and then it's only at the very end where she does do that.
Did you like any of the characters a whole lot?
I didn't actually. They were all very selfish, and I think that was a really big turnoff for me. And I just couldn't. I just wanted to be like, man, it's not about you. But you know, of course, I can't say that to them. And it makes sense because they're teenagers, and at a young age, they had to experience something so horrible. So it makes sense that they weren't able to deal with it and cope with it very well. But yeah, I felt sorry for them, and then I didn't actually particularly like any of them. I wanted to help them, but that's different from liking them, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit it the nail on the head where these characters are hard to like, but we understand it. But, you know, I'm glad that at least elicited that emotion out of you. You know, that last episode, it's pretty something. You know, I remember watching that and just being just kind of stunned and just so emotional after the series ended.
Yeah, it really helped me to get into a feeling and an emotion that I used for my music. And so I really wanted to capture what I felt, that sadness, or at least I guess what the characters felt, the sadness and their desire and their want to say something to someone and they've lost that chance. I thought that that's such a great thing to capture and use for my own personal music.
So did you write a song about Menma?
The thing is, I actually wrote a song about not being able to say something to someone that you really wanted to. And then I watched that show. And then when I re-sang that song, it had a different emotional feeling to it the second time around. Yeah, so I thought that was really cool.
Well, very nice. I think Marcelo picked a good one for you then. Even if the first 10 episodes didn't get you, that last one had that kind of impact. So good job. Actually, speaking of Marcelo, why don't we move on to him? All right. So Marcelo, you had the three choices, which were Kino's Journey, Food Wars, and Akame Ga Kill. Which of the three did you pick?
So I chose Kino's Journey because I've read Food Wars before and I didn't like the art style of the third one.
You're more of a manga reader than an anime watcher.
I am. I definitely am.
Well, Kino's Journey is different even by anime means. So, you know, if there was someone out there who, you know, had never watched Kino's Journey, didn't know anything about it, how would you describe it to them?
So imagine yourself on a motorcycle and you drive this motorcycle between these countries because you're trying to get places.
Wait, talking motorcycle.
A talking motorcycle. Pardon me. And every country has a theme. And yeah.
Sounds like you really like this show.
You know what? I'll tell you one thing I took away from it is that I need to stay away from sheep.
That is a crazy episode. You know,
it was.
There's what were they, exploding sheep, or are they, what was it? It's been a while since I've watched it.
I just need to stay away from sheep, man. they're angry creatures.
So your secret Santa who picked Kino's Journey for you was Holly.
Yeah. Holly. Holly.
Holly.
Holly.
Holly, do you like Kino's Journey?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good show, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think so.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
I mean, at Beneath the Tangles, it's actually one of our website's favorite shows because there's a lot to talk about. Every episode, you know, is, as Marcella said, is goes into a different nation and has kind of a different philosophy. So it's kind of a real thinking series. Although, I mean, I think you and I enjoyed it. Marcella, maybe not quite as much.
I enjoyed it.
So yeah.
Wait, Marcella, what was your favorite country?
I have a favorite country, but there was a country I wish I got to see, which was the one that Kino went and then left and didn't remember. You know? But my favorite country would probably be the traveling country. You know, it's self-sufficient. I mean, it's peaceful. I mean, you're kind of walking all over everybody, literally, but it was really cool. I mean, it was heartwarming with the little, you know, kids painting outside the traveling country. But yeah.
What do you think of Kino, Marcelo? What do you think of Kino as a protagonist?
I think the idea of Kino is very unique. So even Kino's gender is pretty ambiguous, at least in the anime. It's ambiguous in the beginning. And then towards the end, they reveal Kino as a girl. So even with that idea, Kino's role is pretty ambiguous. She's not really a good person, like a protagonist, not really a bad guy. She's pretty neutral. But still, I mean, she's polite to the strangers she meets, but I mean, as we saw, she's not afraid to use her gun. So
She's polite until the sheep start ramming into her motorcycle. And then she starts blowing them up. I totally get you. She's almost like a blank slate. But they also kind of build Kino's character a little bit throughout the series. So even at the end, you don't know a lot about Kino. But maybe that's the point. I don't know. Anyway, good series, I think. I'm glad that you kind of enjoyed it. It was something totally different, right?
Yeah, I actually finished the whole season in 2 days because I was pretty captivated. But yeah, it was unique.
Very cool. All right, so let's move on to Holly now. So Holly, you had your choices were Katana Gatari. You had Rurouni Kenshin, Trust and Betrayal. And you had Hoseki no Kuni. And you selected
Rurouni Kenshin.
All right. Okay, so when I saw that you picked this one, I was a little worried because I get the feeling, or just my experience of you, is that you're not really into classic series.
Wait, what makes you say that?
because we did our own Secret Santa for Anime Pop Heart, and I had you watch Cowboy Bebop. Yeah. And you did not like it.
No.
You didn't. You were like, oh, yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's good.
It's just, it was okay. Like, but it's not that I didn't like it. It's just, I never got those aha moments that you said you had when your age, you know?
Yeah, I think, thanks. Yeah, but I think we kind of decided that everything. All the 80s and 90s things that were in the series just kind of went over your head. But Kenshin doesn't have that, of course. So what did you think of the OVA?
Okay, so initially, I chose it because it was just one movie. Or I thought it was one movie. Mm-hmm. So I thought I could get it over. But then, and then also on my anime list, it was really highly rated. I think it was like top 30s something. And that's why I chose it. But I thought it was, I thought this is what you would really call a classic. When I was watching it, it kind of reminded me of watching Sailor Moon and Pokemon again when I was younger. Because the art was really similar.
Kenshin is so, but Trust and Betrayal is so bloody. Like, it reminded you of Pokemon.
Oh, the TV series.
Oh, the TV series of Pokemon was really bloody. Yeah. Oh, no. Well, yeah. So actually, your Secret Santa was Peter.
Oh, really? Surprise.
Surprise.
Do you remember why you recommended this one for her? I know it's been some time.
Yeah, I think I recommended most of them because they are shows that are highly rated. To me, I feel like not many people have watched those shows. And Rurouni Kenshin was one that I actually watched when I was probably in middle school. And that actually, I mean, it was really bloody for me, but I really enjoyed it. And I haven't actually gone back to watch it. But knowing that it was a good show and just what Holly likes, I felt like she would enjoy it.
So, Holly, I actually asked you to watch some of the episodes of the TV series before you watched the OVA. Do you think that was helpful or a good idea or a bad idea?
I thought that was very helpful. It was kind of like that time when... remember when we did that One Piece episode where everyone enjoyed it except David? And the reason was because David didn't know as much about it. And for me, watching the TV series, specifically episodes, I think it was 1 through 5 and then 28 and 29. It just gave a really good like an appetizer for me to go right into the entree of the OVA. Like, while watching the OVA, I was able to see the characters and see the plot and then the clans and everything. And I was like, oh yeah, I remember this part. So I thought it was really, really relatable. So I really liked watching it.
I think, there's a lot of really stunning parts of the OVA, especially in juxtaposition with the original series, which was kind of why I wanted you to see that. But I think the most stunning part of it is the ending. And so I want to mention to our audience that we are going to give some spoilers now. What did you think of the ending, the climactic scene, the climactic fight, and the death that happens?
You know, with the title being Trust and Betrayal, I kind of expected there to be some kind of trust and a betrayal to happen with Tomoe and Kenshin. But even if I knew that, it was really impactful still. And I think that's why it makes it a classic, right? Especially knowing how the scar happened, one's from the husband and then one was from the other fiance, and then I don't know.
I mean, to me, like, I find it kind of strange, but I would say that the OVA is actually a very beautiful movie, very poetic, almost. Like you mentioned, that the scars that, you know, one given by the fiance and one given by Tomoe at the end, which is totally different from the series, which is, you know, you're right, it is like Sailor Moon. It's kind of comical a little bit, and the animation isn't as good as kind of kiddie. It's quite impactful in that way as well.
Yeah, definitely the OVA was very, very mature. Yeah.
So were you happy with it?
I was very happy with it.
Thank you, Peter. Good pick. All right. And so the last person then is Peter. So Peter's choices were Time of Eve, Ghost in the Shell, Standalone Complex, and Parasite the Maxim. We know that David gave it to you because he's the last person left, and we'll get to him in a second. But which of the three series did you pick?
I chose to watch Ghost in the Shell, Standalone Complex.
You know, I'm gonna actually go to David first and ask him, why did you recommend this series to Peter?
Well, you know, Ghost in the Shell, it is a classic. It's one of those things where if you talk about sci-fi anime, of course, like, you do bring up Akira, but Ghost in the Shell really made a huge impact, not only just in like anime, but just in general. Because like so much of the Matrix, you know, is taken from Ghost in the Shell. And a lot of the stuff that happens there, I think, is done really well. And so if you're looking for like a post-apocalyptic thing, that is like one of the go-to animes. And so I wanted to at least recommend it to him.
So Peter, what did you think?
Honestly, I didn't really enjoy Ghost in the Shell. And that being because I think I possibly might not have been in the mood for it while watching it. But I don't think it really resonated to me in a way that I think that it was supposed to. And also, I only watched the first 12 episodes of it, as it is a 24-episode season. And I have a feeling that a lot of the first half is like a premise to all the stuff that is about to happen in the climax in the later part of the season. And so I think I might have missed out on that just watching the first half.
So Standalone Complex, you know, like David said, it's part of that whole Ghost in the Shell franchise, and has those important themes like identity and consciousness and what technology does to society. But like you kind of mentioned, this being a series rather than a movie, it's arranged differently. And you have a lot of episodic episodes, and then just a few episodes that focus on the plot. Is that what kind of took you out of it?
I'd say, yeah, kind of, having it being very episodic. Holly and David know that I watch a lot of Slice of Life, and all of those shows are very episodic, obviously, because life is different every day. But I think just for me, I can't really get into those serious ones as much anymore. And that's why I've been kind of going with like the slice of life genres and something anime that are more light. And I think it's more of the, just how deep it is and how serious it is that kind of left me not wanting really getting into it.
I wonder if you had watched the Standalone Complex when it came out, I guess about 10 years ago. Like you mentioned, you weren't really in the mood for it. Maybe in that time of your life, you would have been in the mood for it and really would have liked it better.
Yeah, I've watched shows like Psycho Pass and Monster, a lot of shows that have a lot of deep and philosophical themes. But I just think, yeah, right now, it just wasn't, you know, it's the time that I really would have enjoyed it.
Well, sorry. that unfortunately that happens. I mentioned that sometimes the series we try, just, you know, maybe 90% of people would like them, or, you know, but they're just not for us. And I've had that slice of life kind of time in my life too. And now it's harder for me to watch slice of life. I want shows that are more like standalone complex. Maybe it does have to do with where we are and what our mood is and what our tastes are. I know you like, shows like, Trigun and, Cowboy Bebop and Samurai Champloo, which also all kind of have that same kind of arrangement where it's mostly episodic. And then you have a few, episodes according to plot. But, again, maybe those are from, maybe if you had watched those shows also now rather than 10 years ago, you wouldn't have liked them.
Yeah, I think there's just going to be a cycle for guys like us who watch a lot of shows. I just have this huge cycle of anime that I'm constantly watching. And I think that just adding Ghost in the Shell to that right now, I guess in this part of my life, just wasn't it. But I think I'll definitely go back and watch the rest of the season to give it justice.
You know what? I think you did your best. I think you have a gifter in David, who is that guy that gives you what he thinks you should have rather than what you really want. You know, like I think David really likes these series instead of thinking, you know what, Peter needs some slice of life. Is that what you're thinking, David?
Yeah, I really wanted him to completely get out of his zone. I didn't think he would choose, honestly, Ghost in the Shell. I thought he would choose like Time of Eve because it's a much easier watch, even though it does bring up those like philosophical elements. But yeah, that I did want Peter to kind of go into like a thinking anime more so than a feels good or just like a happy-go-lucky one.
Well, it was a good experiment. And I guess you could say that about the whole thing. What did you guys think of the whole Secret Santa thing?
I mean, I thought it was fun. I thought it was fun to be able to be included and participate and watch something that I've never heard about before.
Yeah, I wouldn't have ever watched Kenshin if it wasn't for Peter.
Same for me. I probably wouldn't have watched Ghost in the Shell if it wasn't for David.
Yeah, and so Anohana. At least I have. Anohana, man.
Look, man,
it was 10 episodes out of 11.
It ended up being really good for your music, man. I'm glad that.
That's true. That's true. I think it did help a lot.
All right. Well, I'm glad that it was a pretty good experience for you all. And that's it. That wraps it up. That's Secret Santa for 2019. But before we close this episode, I was kind of thinking about the connection between all these series. They're all classics of the genre. You guys all did a great job picking really a well-loved series. But is there a deeper thematic connection? And I think there is. We touched upon a little bit when I mentioned Ghost in the Shell, the idea of identity, particularly the question of who we are. Major Kusanagi is a cybernetic human, and questions of her soul and her development arise in all sorts of incarnations of Ghost in the Shell in manga and on film. In Kenshin, the Kenshin we see in the TV series, as Holly mentioned, changes dramatically from the one a few years prior reflected in the OVA, where he's almost a shell without identity, one that people are trying to carve in whatever image suits their needs. It's his meeting with Tomoe that changes the course of his life and allows him to feel that he's more than just a weapon. In Anohana, Menma's tragedy changes the course of the lives for each member of the Super Peace Busters. David mentioned that they're not really likable people, but there's a reason for that. They suffer through a tragedy, and they're dealing with it, and they're in adolescence, the hardest time of life, perhaps. And so they're already going through identity issues. And then finally, Kino's journey. We see the impact that society and culture has on each of us. Each of the nations are very different. And it's amazing sometimes what the people in these different nations that Kino's traveling in thinks it's acceptable. Some nations think that violence and mob violence and murder is acceptable, and others feel more closely to what we feel is acceptable in society. Kino almost has no personality. And so she's just, in that sense, it's kind of weird that she may have the strongest identity of all. She stays herself, even as she sees varying ideas of justice in each nation that she travels to. I think we also struggle with these questions, and especially in times of stress or distress, they get even more challenging. We ask ourselves, what do we really value? Who really cares about us? And sometimes even that deeper question of who we are. On Beneath the Tangles, we want to impress the idea that no matter what happens in life, there is an anchor for our souls. Someone who tells us that no matter what we struggle through, no matter how impossibly hard things become, and no matter how often we turn away from him, God tells us that our identity is in him. We are his workmanship, and if we know him, we are his children. And that's something that doesn't change. It's something that doesn't depend on our talent or skill. It's something that gives us more value than anything else possibly could. So I want to tell you all right now that if you're struggling with something, if you're in the midst of crisis, remember who you are to God. And if you don't have a relationship with him, I invite you to reach out to any of us, and we'll do our best to relate to you why we have hope, even when things seem hopeless. And on that note, it's time to draw this episode to a close. I'm glad you could join us, and hope that you'll come back just 1 week from today as we wrap up 2019 with a special Christmas episode. It's going to be totally different, and I think you'll really enjoy it. Until then, please leave us a comment and subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, or wherever else you listen to podcasts. This is the Tanglecast signing off. Plus Ultra.